This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday, a magnificent Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have all kinds of amazing questions on everything under the sun, from the FBI, history, Democrats, Doge, the big beautiful bill in Congress, all that. So much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to begin on the Doge stuff from today, because it actually is applicable to one of the questions, and it's applicable to what's happening right now in Congress. This is the important thing that other people aren't talking about. And I know the flashy headline about this and that, but this is what's important. The guy says, Doge, what in the world, man? Although he didn't say what in the world. He said, why does it seem like Doge is fizzling out? Okay. It's an interesting question because it comes on the heels of a big Doge press release today talking about all the things they just discovered. Now, I'm going to go through some of these things, and then we're going to have a talk about Doge. What is its real value? What it's not? What it is? Anyway, here they were.
There was a $4 billion COVID fund in the Department of Education, and there was no receipts required, so people could just draw down on it. And when people looked into it, this wasn't us, this was before us, they found that money was being used to rent out Caesar's Palace for parties, rent out stadiums, et cetera. And so the one change that Doge made with the Department of Education is we had the simple requirement that if you draw down money, you must first upload a receipt. That was the only change that was made. You must upload your receipt. And upon doing so,
yes,
nobody drew down any money anymore.
Now, let me explain something before we go on, because I know you're probably getting ready to punch the radio or the dog or someone else. Please don't punch anybody. Definitely don't punch your dog. Let me explain. And what I'm about to talk about, you know, but it's still going to make your blood pressure go up. Hey, it's Friday. Let that go. We're just going to talk, okay? I ran for Congress one time, as you know. I've talked about it many times before. And when I was running for Congress the first time,
This was during the recession, right about that 2008 recession time. You remember, anyone old enough remembers, it was a very tough time. And for me, as an adult, because I was out of the Marine Corps at this time and I was in my 20s, and you finally start to notice more things than you do as a kid. You know, you notice different things as a kid than you do as an adult. That was the first time in my life I remember looking around and kind of being hit at all the businesses that were closing. I hadn't really lived as an adult in that America yet. Now, that you have if you're old enough, but for me at that time, that was really the first time I looked around and I saw, you could see it with your own eyes, real economic suffering. Real strip malls that used to have six businesses in it, a little strip mall, you know, the little sandwich shop and the dry cleaner. After 6 months, it had two left. Everything else is boarded up. And this is what it was like. I was in Arizona. This was in southern Arizona at the time, but this was across the country. You remember what it was like. It really hit me. You could see everything shrinking. You could see everything kind of just crumbling. It was a real economic downturn. Now, running for Congress, as I've explained to you before, you have to raise money. I don't like to ask you for money, so I don't have a lot of people running for office on the show. It's very rare, as you know. It's rare that I have anyone anyway, but people running for office is extremely rare. That's part of the reason, is because they're going to ask for money, and I'm going to ask for money. If I have someone on that I care enough about, I'm going to ask you to give them money, and that sucks. But you know what? Money really matters in politics. You have to raise it. You have to raise some of it. You don't have to outraise your opponent, but you got to raise money for commercials and all kinds of stuff. You have to have it. Part of running for Congress was flying back to Washington, D.C. to ask different congressmen for money from their political PACs. This was my, now you, this is stuff that you're going to know, but this, I lived it and this was my experience with it. I flew back to Washington, D.C. the very first time. I had never been in my life. We didn't get to go. I didn't get to go on the Washington, D.C. field trip so many school classes take and whatnot. I think we didn't have the money or something like that at the time. But either way, I was in my 20s and I'd never been to D.C. Maybe you've never been. This was my first experience with it. And we landed in Washington, D.C. And it was like the recession that I had been living, that I'd been witnessing. It was like I landed on a completely different planet. There was no recession in D.C. In fact, everything was new. Everything was new, and there were new things being built. What wasn't new was about to be new. It was shiny, and it was glass, and it was new paved roads, and it was new this, and it was, everything was brand new. And I was with one of my guys, my campaign manager at the time, is my buddy, Adam. And I, because he had a lot of experience in D.C. He had lived there, did like an internship and stuff like that there. And I was so floored by it that we had a conversation by it. I said, dude, everything is new. And he said, Jesse, where do you think all your tax money goes, buddy? The federal government. All governments work this way. We'll stick with the federal government for our purposes now. The federal government is full of people, criminals. They're not all criminals, of course, but it is absolutely full of criminals. And they take that federal job and stay in that federal job and work their way up through the federal employment system for two reasons. One, the job security that comes with it. Everybody knows you can't fire these freaking people. They're like daggone ticks. You got to burn them out. You can't get them out. They're all unionized. You got to relocate, eliminate. It's a nightmare trying to fire them. So one, it's the job security slash benefits. They all get the best benefits in the world. But two, most of these people are not talented. They don't have any unique gifts. They don't have an outstanding work ethic. They don't have the things that you have. They don't have the things that are required to make it big in the private sector outside of the government. Well, what are they going to do? Settle for just nothing? No, they want the finer things in life the same way you want the finer things in life. They want Red Lobster. They don't want to settle for Long John Silver's. They want to upgrade. They want the best of the best. Well, I mean, we do work for the federal government and there's so much money here. The American Treasury It's just a sea of money. What if we found a way to get our hands on that money? What if we did that? You know those stories about mayor this, mayor that? Mayor Karen Bass just did this. Remember they had that huge fire in Los Angeles and the controversy was that Mayor Karen Bass was on a taxpayer-funded trip to freaking Africa at the time. Well, we're just studying how things are working in Ghana. Well, she got elected. Los Angeles has a big fat treasury. You didn't think she was there to do some good with that money or with that position, right? She's there to enrich herself, to live like a king on your money. That's how it works in the federal government. Only it's so much more than the mayor's office. Department after department after department after department, full of these career criminal commie bureaucrats who can't make it in the private sector, aren't motivated to even try. And why would they? Because they've made a 20, 30-year career luxuriating with your money. These people at the Department of Education, just think for a moment. I'll play it for you again. Just think for a moment. You want to get really angry? Think about all the scrimping and saving you've had to do, trying to make ends meet, second job, worried about all the debt and everything else piling up on you. And then think about the people at the Department of Education hopping on a flight you paid for, living it up at Caesar's Palace, Vegas, baby.
There's a $4 billion COVID fund in the Department of Education. And there was no receipts required, so people could just draw down on it. And when people looked into it, this wasn't us, this was before us, they found that money was being used to rent out Caesar's Palace for parties, rent out stadiums, et cetera.
Rent out Caesar's Palace for parties. Rent out stadiums. You know that thing big Wall Street firms, big law firms do? Hey, let's rent out Yankee Stadium, baby. We'll own the whole thing. Woo! Let's get Hootie and the Blowfish to play. Money's flowing. Woo! Yeah. Those federal employees, they do that with your money. With your money. Now, we're going to have a long talk about Doge and Congress and these people in just a moment. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Guy asked a question about Doge, and it was a timely question because there's so much that's been exposed today. Don't worry. We're going to get to kind of the Congress negative portion of this in a little bit, but we're discussing these people that worm their way into governments, all governments. This happens at the state level. Happens at the city level. And what they do is they live at a higher standard of living than their salary should allow. And they live that way on your money. They get into these positions of power, sometimes elected, sometimes not. And they rent out Caesar's Palace and Yankee Stadium.
A $4 billion COVID fund in the Department of Education. And there was no receipts required, so people could just draw down on it. And when people looked into it, this wasn't us, this was before us, they found that money was being used to rent out Caesar's Palace for parties, rent out stadiums, et cetera. And so the one change that...
How's that work? How does something like that come into be? Because we're going to go over a couple other things here. Well, it's quite simple, actually, because a lot of this is going to come back to Congress. This is going to hurt, but it's quite simple. Eventually, somebody, education department, somebody, they will lobby Congress for something. And they'll find a congressman. Hey, let's, AOC. Hey, this is Bob over here at the education department. Man, we're really trying to get some things done over here. Some really important things. Some stuff that may affect your district, actually. Would you mind? I know there's a big budget coming up here. Would you mind putting this little rider in that budget? Just one piece of paper. All this is, it's a fund for us at the education department, so we have the funds we need and all that. Would you mind? Don't forget about that big teachers union donation. Would you mind putting that in the bill? AOC looks and says, sure, I'll put that in the bill. And of course, this is 20, 30 years ago. Either some corrupt person or some idiot put it in a bill somewhere. And from there, a slush fund was created. a slush fund of your money, a slush fund government employees have been luxuriating off of for years and years and years while you struggle to pay the bills. Let's do some more, shall we?
I think the Inter-American Foundation, IAF, is one of the agencies we visited where, you know, they get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, you know, alpaca farming in Peru, improving them.
That's a real example.
Yes. That's the real description. Improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Yeah,
So you might expect, you know, in the private sector, a nonprofit to give, you know.
This part is important. I know you're already angry. $50 million for alpaca farming and the studying of peas. It's about to get more aggravating. But remember the story I just told you about how in Tucson, Arizona, there was this recession all across America. Wherever you were at the time, there was this recession. And I flew to D.C., yet everything seemed brand new. Why?
80 to 90% of their money to grantees. In the case of IAF, that was 58%. So the other half goes towards management, travel. Yeah.
What we find exactly, I mean, to Ethan's example, is that even if you agreed with supporting alpaca farmers in Peru, well, actually, most of the money never made it out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into the pockets of people in the neighborhood.
When I lived in D.C. for a year, and when I was running for Congress, I swear on my life, every single person I met was in some way in government money's orbit, finding a way, either they're actually working for the government, or they work for a company that works for the government, or for a company that works for another company that works for the government, or for a company who works for a company. You get the idea. Either government or government adjacent. This money, it's all fraud. It's not waste. I hate when they use that. It's not waste. This is theft from the American taxpayer. It's all fraud. Why? $50 million for alpacas down, where is it? Peru? Alpacas in Peru? And of course, about 25 cents actually gets sent down to Peru. And that, of course, ends up in somebody's brother's cousin's slush fund down there, too. What happens to the rest of it? It gets allocated to this government department. Well, first, we have to study it first. We wouldn't just want to give money to any alpaca. Hey, my second cousin's brother, he's got a new firm, and that's what he does. He studies alpaca farming. Hey, can we give him $30 million for that study? Yep, sounds good. You get how it works? Everything in the largest criminal organization on the planet, that would be the United States government, everything is designed in some way to pull money from your wallet. I keep using the example of organized crime, and I use it because it is absolutely perfect when it comes to the United States federal government and how they steal from you in a million different ways. There are people like these criminals, gangsters, mafia guys. Everything in their life, everything they look at, everything they see, it all becomes a potential hustle. Can I get in on that? Can I figure out a way to skim off that? Can I figure out, hey, this guy has a lot of mink coats. Could I figure out how to skim some of those mink coats? This guy has a movie theater. I bet I could go to his movie theater and charge him $1 a seat every Friday night to protect it. Hey, this guy sells cigarettes. I bet I could get some of the. Everything becomes a hustle. Everything becomes a what? Hey, how do I get one over on these guys and get some of that money? That's how the criminal organization known as the United States government operates, and you are the mark. And so am I. Getting my blood pressure up on Friday. Oh, it's about to get worse. There's more. We'll get to that more in a moment. Now, in the meantime, you can save some money by switching to Pure Talk. Why did my voice just squeak there? It's because I'm getting upset. Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. AT&T hates your guts. T-Mobile, Verizon. You want to talk about blood sucking your money out of your wallet? You know, there's a reason there's an AT&T store on every corner, a Verizon store on every corner. You know the reason? Because you're paying for it. All those stores, all that overhead, that's why your bill's so high. Why does your bill go down when you switch to Pure Talk? My bill got cut in half. Well, you don't have to deal with all that. You just deal with a great American company. Americans on the phone. They'll handle everything for you. You keep your phone number. Right now, they're giving out brand new Samsung Galaxy smartphones with qualifying plans. Switch to Pure Talk. It's time. Take 10 minutes on the phone. Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly. Pound 250, say Jesse Kelly. We continue on this next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Do not forget, we are live here on a Friday night. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to this Doge stuff, because this is going to get to Congress and the bills and what's going through here. Here's some more of it.
Is the Small Business Administration giving loans to dead people, people over the age of 120? The answer was yes, and it was around $330 million in total.
$330 million in loans to dead people. I want to once again completely stress to you that that is not waste, okay? I hate when Republicans talk like this. I hate when anyone on the right talks like this. Be more purposeful with your language. Stop saying waste, fraud, and abuse. This is theft. You can call it fraud. You could call it abuse. Don't say waste. Waste makes it sound like, oh, you know what waste is? I'll tell you what waste is. The other day, I found $9 in my shorts. I put on some shorts. It was a weekend. $9 was crumpled up in it. I had forgotten that I had $9 in my shorts. Ob had washed those shorts God knows how many times. I stuck my hand in there and found $9. Now, that's being wasteful. That's not appreciating the value of a dollar. I just let $9 go to waste. That's waste. $330 million in small business loans to dead people is theft. It's not waste. That's theft. Do you know what it takes to get a loan? Have you ever gotten a loan? I'm sure you have. Maybe it was a home loan. Maybe it was a small business loan. Was that a quick process that you could just kind of fall into? Oh, whoopsie, I applied for a small business loan today. Oh, dang, I guess my finger slipped off the button and I clipped the wrong one and I applied for a small business loan. Was it quick? Did you find the process quick? You have to submit yourself for a colonoscopy to get a loan anymore. Yet $330 million of your money was sent out the door to small businesses that didn't exist. Somebody applied for those loans and received the money and spent it. Your money while you struggle, while you try to make ends meet. I hope you're mad. I'm mad. I want the American people to start caring. And we're going to talk in a minute about what we need to start caring about. We'll continue on. We'll let them finish. A couple more of these.
By far the least peaceful agency that we've worked with,
yeah.
Ironically.
Of course.
Additionally, we found that they were spending money on things like private jets.
He's talking about the Institute for Peace. Just a heads up. What a name, right? The Institute for Peace. They just found a large quantity of weapons at a building the Institute for Peace owned in Washington, D.C. You could go look at pictures of the room. I saw pictures of the room. It's basically every guy's dream. There are allegations. I'm just going to leave it at that right now. There are allegations that was a Central Intelligence Agency room. So you know exactly what the deal is here. You understand how this works, right? In case you don't understand how this works, here's how this works. Secret spy agencies like the Central Intelligence Agency, they can't afford to have all the secret things they're doing as line items in the United States budget. So they find ways to lie and bury their things in the budgets of other departments. In fact, other departments, entire departments, are essentially Central Intelligence Agency departments. But you don't want to say, hey, this money's for black market weapons purchases in Zimbabwe. So instead, you have to create the Institute for Peace, give them a big fat budget, bank on the fact none of the losers in Congress will ever look into it. And you've got a gigantic cache of weapons sitting there for the CIA to screw up yet another government coup somewhere. That's how it works. Anyway, what they find there?
By far the least peaceful agency that we've worked with,
yeah.
Ironically.
Of course.
Additionally, we found that they were spending money on things like private jets, and they even had a $130,000 contract with a former member of the Taliban. This is real. We don't encounter that at most agencies.
Yeah.
What was the money going to the Taliban for?
So it was a contractor. They received $130,000 for generic services. And to Elon's point, there was not actually a clear description of what the contractor services were for.
There wasn't a clear description because they were paying somebody, the Central Intelligence Agency. That was bag money. We'll never know what it was for. I don't want to sit and pretend what it was for. Who knows? Maybe he was an informant. Maybe they were paying him to kill somebody. Maybe that money was supposed to be passed on to someone else doing black bag CIA stuff. I get it. I don't actually need to know every single thing the spy world's doing, but that's what they're doing. And that's also why the Institute for Peace was the most hostile agency, as he said. This is an agency run by spies, run on secrecy. Elon Musk and his team of super nerds show up to comb through the books. Central Intelligence Agency's probably not going to respond that nice to it. That's what's happening right now. And finally, for the grand finale, and we'll get off this Doge stuff. Listen to this.
A lot of great work at the Treasury this week. One of the crazy things with regards to the Treasury is that when a payment is made, and the computers at the Treasury actually pay about $5 trillion per year, like crazy amounts, there was formerly not a budget code on there. So if a payment was made, you didn't know actually what it was for. It could have been for anything.
Yeah. $5 trillion? And they didn't even have to mark what it was for. You know that I work for Premier, right? This show is syndicated by Premier, the largest, most wonderful syndicator in the world. But Premier is underneath iHeart. You get that. So when I have to go somewhere for work, when I have to fly somewhere, hotel, food, whatever it is. I have a credit card. I have an iHeart credit card. And when I get back, Chris has to submit all this stuff. And he has to have receipts for everything. And everything has to have a category too, right, Chris? Everything has to have, what category was this? Okay, you bought Red Lobster in Florida. I need to know who were you. This is for a $2,000 business trip to Florida. Submitting an expense report into iHeart requires receipts. What was it for? Everything has to be marked. And don't think just because I'm me that I get away with it if it's not marked. Chris is shaking his head. Yeah, he gets it because Chris has to do it. Nope, they'll send it right back to him. No, you have to declare what this was. What's this for? That's for a $2,000 business trip to Florida. The United States federal government, that criminal organization, hands out $5 trillion a year of your money without so much as a code for why it's going where it's going. This is not waste. These are crimes. Crimes have been committed against you. Years and years and years of our negligence and GOP complicity and weakness has brought us to the point we are now governed by a criminal organization. And that brings me back to your question, was it feels like Doge has fizzled out. Well, it's not that they've fizzled out, as you can tell. They're digging into things like the Treasury, like the Pentagon, things like that. But there's a lot of misinformation, if I have to use the word they love. There's a lot of misinformation out there about Doge itself, what it actually can do, what it can't do, what its value is, and what its value isn't. And another Ask Dr. Jesse question is going to lead us to that, which we will get to in a moment. Before we get to that, I want to do something. This is on behalf of Preborn. I got this email. Jesse, a young woman at work came to me a few days ago and confided in me. She is pregnant and wants to have an abortion. I listened to her reasons, offered her every option I could think of in hopes of getting her to reconsider. In the middle of her giving me another no, I heard the words, "What if I adopt the baby?" come out of my mouth. Jesse, I am a 55-year-old woman with 4 young grandchildren. I have no idea why I offered such an option, but I can tell you that when I did, I had a warming sensation come over me. It was never my plan to become a mother again at this stage in my life, but maybe it's God's. It was the only option I offered that got her to say she would think about it. So I am coming to the Jesse Kelly family seeking prayers. I would welcome anyone who might be willing to pray for the life of this little soul, that he/she might be given the gift of life. What an honor it would be to play a role in this endeavor. Please keep up the great work on your show. We all love you. Says we can say her name. Her name is Kelly in Utah. One, please join me in saying a prayer for not just Kelly, for that young woman and for the baby that's growing inside of her. This is about the most awesome thing I've ever heard in my life. Kelly, if you're listening, I'm asking that you please keep us updated as we pray for you. And this is me asking you, maybe give $28 to Preborn tonight. That $28 buys one of these young women, just like this, an ultrasound, so she can hear that heartbeat and choose life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, churning through the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, all the news of the day, making fun of Chuck Schumer in a little while. But first, we just did all the Doge stuff and the government waste and everything else. This guy asked the question, because it's going to come back to the Doge stuff. Just stay with me. Jesse, the big, beautiful bill. I've heard Congress has sent the bill to the Senate back to Congress with less cuts. Then I heard the bill would be passed by the end of May. Now I just heard John Thune said it'll be 4th of July. Jesse, if we don't pass the bill ASAP, we'll lose the House. Jesse, what's going on? Okay, so all the Doge stuff that made you angry. This will come back to Congress. Doge cannot cut things in any significance. That's what you want. And that's what I want, to be honest with you. I want Elon and the super nerds to not just identify all this theft. I want them to stop it. Eliminate it. No. Stop. Okay, no more $30 million for gay turtles. No, I want the same thing you want. But Doge doesn't actually have the power to do that. Now, I'm not saying Doge is useless at all, because exposing problems is an incredibly important step in solving problems. That these things exist, that Doge exists, hey, look at where this money's going, is good. I'm not dogging on it at all. But don't think that's how it works in the government, how you can just expose it and then, well, okay, beep, 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 press a couple buttons and now the money's coming back. Now the waste is done. Now, but this. Nope, that's not how it works. The truth is that all this money that they're identifying, all this fraud, all this theft in the United States government that Doge is identifying, all of it has been authorized by the United States Congress, by Republicans and Democrats inside the United States Congress. So let's discuss how that happens, because it's going to bring us to where we are now. I touched on it a little bit earlier. You know how that happens? You know how we end up with this separate department that doesn't even sound like it should be a thing? You want to know how this separate department that shouldn't even be a thing gets $300 million a year of your money to hand out to dead people, which is obviously theft? How do these things come to be? Well, they don't just magically fall out of the sky. Congress authorizes them in big, beautiful bills. That's how they do it. No. We can't do single issue bills. We can't do this one issue. We can't do that one issue. We can't have a bill that just deals with the border or one that deals with taxes. Hey, let's do a big bill. Let's just do a big one and it'll put it all in there. The reason they expand the size of the bills is so they can throw more theft and fraud into the bill, because inside every $1 trillion bill is billions and billions and billions of dollars of theft, authorizing Congress to steal your money and hand it to their friends and family members. That's how this stuff happens. Doge is discovering the things Congress has authorized. And Congress authorized all those things underneath a big, beautiful bill. What's happening right now in the House and Senate? I don't have any good news for you. It's all bad. Every single bit of it. It's bad in the Senate. It's bad in the House. This gigantic bill is a colossal mistake. It's a disaster. It will continue to fund every evil criminal thing inside of the government. Now, I understand completely why the Trump administration wants the bill. Trump wants what every president wants. He wants to do things, and doing things ain't free. He wants to do things, and things cost money. And I want to make sure I'm giving him all the credit in the world. The things he wants to do are awesome. He wants, I want money to secure the border. I want money for new Navy ships. I want money for that. He wants to do good things. And so because he wants to do good things, Trump is repeatedly asking for a, quote, big, beautiful bill. The problem is the second you make it a big, beautiful bill with all the things you want in it, they're going to throw the 3-4 things you want in it and about 300 things nobody wants in there. And that's how we continue you to get screwed. You're thrilled that Doge is exposing all this fraud inside of the government, and I'm thrilled that Doge is about to expose all the fraud inside of the government, but here's the painful truth. The bill that's about to go through Congress authorizes all of it again. Do you know that? There is no such thing as a big bill that is beautiful. And if you really, really want inflation to go down, if you really want to get the debt under control, if we want to continue the financial system we have always known, it involves changing out Congress. Not the president once every 4 years. Every president, no matter how good they are, they're going to do the same thing Trump's doing. They all do it. Reagan did it. Clinton did it. Obama did it. Trump did it. Every single one of them does it. Give me a big bill with all the stuff I want in it. Oh, sure, Mr. President. We'll get you some stuff you want with some stuff we want, too. Happens every single time. If you want this game to stop, you and I will start getting a lot more focused on who we elect and don't elect to the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. There's no such thing as a big bill that is beautiful. It does not exist. It cannot exist. A criminal organization like the United States Congress, it's not possible for them to create a trillion-dollar bill that is good. It's not possible. They can't do it. You might as well go give the American Mafia $50 million to build a school. Where do you think they're going to do with that? Oh, you might end up with some sort of a school. Maybe. You get a one-room shack or something they built for 50 grand. But that's what it's like. You give Congress $1 trillion for anything, they're going to do exactly what the Mafia would do with it. Anyway, I do hope you've went ahead and called Gold Co. Because I'm telling you what's coming. There's going to be another big bill, and we're not going to get inflation under control, and there's going to be uncertainty. And that's why you need precious metals. Look, if you'd called Gold Co. last year when I told you to go call Gold Co., you'd have made a fortune already. Gold keeps hitting highs. They think it might crest like $4,000 an ounce this year. Get it in your retirement. I'm not telling you to buy gold bars. Get it in your retirement. You know they are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Gold Co. is the most trusted gold company for a reason. They'll give you a free 2025 gold and silver kit if you just want to read up on it. Go to jessielikesgold.com and get your free gold and silver kit. Or you can call them 855-817-GOLD. Get a hold of Gold Co. Protect your money. All right? All right. Now, we have a retired federal agent who wrote in, and it pairs nicely with someone else who wrote in, upset with the pace of things at the FBI. Let's discuss that next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.